Good morning. It's always great to be at 16th. And it's great to open the Word of God, but I have a problem with myself. There's something about me that gets me all upset. There's something in me that just, I don't like it. There's something that happens to me sometimes that really gets me upset. And you know, I think we all have the same problem. And that's temptation. I don't like temptation. But I'm always tempted. Satan's always tempting me. Oh, I don't like it. I wish I could take my coat off and just say, come on, Satan. How can we overcome temptation? Does the Bible show us a way to get over temptation? You know, it's very interesting. As I was thinking about this particular subject, I started reading sermons and listening, 7 ways to resist temptation. Oh, it was a great sermon. And then so I read another one, and it says 12 ways to overcome temptation. Well, I thought, you know, I could maybe share that, but then we would be here till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, and then there was another one about 4 effective strategies to overcome temptation. And I was getting pretty excited. I was reading and praying, and because I knew I had to speak here at the 16th, and I wanted a message that would be from God, not from Ron Edgecombe. So then I saw 2 keys to overcome temptation. Great messages. And then, of course, another one was 8 ways to beat temptation. Well, I looked at all these different ways, and it was so complicated. I had to go back to the Bible. I had to go back and read the Bible to see what the Bible said about it. And you know, Jesus was tempted. And so when I thought of temptation, I thought, you know, how to deal with temptation? How do we deal with them? How can we overcome it? Can we really beat temptation? You know, feeling tempted is not a sin. That was encouraging to me, because that's what I don't like. Feeling tempted is not a sin. Mishandling the temptation is. Even Jesus was tempted. So if temptation is not a sin, and Jesus was tempted, and Jesus was sinless, so it's not the temptation that is bad. How do we deal with temptation? Would you turn with me in your Bibles, iPads, phones, French, English, Spanish, Chinese, whatever your language, your own Bible, and we're going to read the passage. And if you don't have your Bible, you can look up on the screen. But if you have your own Bible, I'd rather see you using your own Bible, because this, we're going to find out, is our defensive and offensive weapon. And we've got to know how to use it. So don't look up here. Just follow along. If it's not word for word the same, it'll be close. Are you ready now? We're going to read this. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man should not live by bread alone. Then the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all of the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all these, their authority. I will give you all authority, splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone. I will too. If you worship me, it will be all yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Verse 9. And the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he who commands his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered, It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all these temptations, he left him until another opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogue, and everyone praised him. Temptation. Even our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus was tempted. So is temptation a sin? No. Temptation, you have a choice. God has given you a choice. What does the Bible say that says, there are no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation always make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. So you have the choice. You can say, yes, I'm going to sin, or no, I'm not going to sin. You have that power in you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can't do it on my own. Every time I've tried to beat Satan on my own, you know what happened? I've been defeated. And it happens. It happens to preachers, missionaries, pastors, elders, deacons, members of our assembly. It happens all the time. When we try to do it on our own, we goof. We mess up. We make big mistakes. So you have the choice. You have the choice. A small leak will sink a great ship. A small spark will kindle a great fire. A little allowed sin will ruin an immortal soul. Satan says, well, come on, Ron. Come on, George. Come on, Sally. Come on, Peter. Come on, Paul. It's just a little sin. It doesn't matter. Oh, come on. Just a quick peek. Just take that one grape. Just take that grape in the grocery store and just taste just one. That's sin. To God, sin is sin. There's no big sin. There's no little sins. There's no gray or white. Black is black and white is white. Foxes, tiny foxes spoil the vineyards, and little sins do mischief to a tender heart. Yes, dear friends, we are in a battle. It is spiritual warfare. It is against Satan, and it ain't easy. Soy translator, it isn't easy. As I said many times, I can remember when I was younger, I wouldn't do it anymore, of course, but I used to take my coat off, throw it on the ground and say, come on, Satan, I'm going to give you a run for your money. But we can't do that because it's a spiritual battle. You know, Jesus had no extraordinary weapons when he was tempted. He has the same tools that we have, the Spirit and the Word. So we've got to learn, what did Jesus do to overcome temptation? Well, let's look at the three occasions. The first one, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell the stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus used the most powerful weapon in the world, the Word of God. That's how Jesus answered the first temptation. He didn't try to explain the Word of God. You know, when I was in Bible school, I was quite a rebel, you know. I remember Bible school. I was preaching one day, and I told the people the important thing is to use the Word of God, and I had a gun in my hand. I won't do it here because I wouldn't be invited back, and I might get some heart attacks. But I was in this auditorium, and there was, you know, a few hundred people, and I was saying the importance of using the Word of God, not trying to explain the Word of God, just use the Word of God. That's what Jesus did. And I had a gun. I said, you know, when I go hunting moose, I call the moose, and the moose come out, and I shoot the moose for the meat. Not to kill a moose, but for the meat for the winter. But I don't explain that I have a 30-odd six with a special, you know, I had a gun in my hand and I shot it. And you can imagine shooting a gun. It was a starting pistol. You know the starting, you know, when you have a race, one, two, three, boom, and it made a lot of noise. And Well, the director had me up in his office that afternoon, of course, and I got in big trouble, but at least I got my point across. We have to use the Word of God. We don't want to try to explain the Word of God. Are you with me? And if you're going to use the Word of God, we're going to find out you have to know the Word of God. How can I use the Word of God? I have good friends that are carpenters. Ian McDool's a carpenter, finished carpenter, and he uses a planer, and he uses this and that and the other thing. Now, he won't loan me any of his tools because I open up cans of paint with his chisel, and you can shave with his chisel because he knows how to use a chisel. I don't know how to use a chisel because I haven't studied how to use a chisel. But the Word of God is what Jesus used, and that's what we're to use. Let's look at another example. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of the Lord. And Jesus is saying a verse from the Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. So Jesus knew the Old Testament. Like, we should know the Old Testament, just not the New Testament. I find the New Testament to myself personally very interesting. And sometimes it's a little hard to read the Old Testament. But we have to know the whole Word of God. We have to know the whole Word of God. So the first temptation Jesus uses is the Bible. So I'm sure in the second temptation, he's going to do something more spectacular. Yeah, we're going to see, but you know, he used the Word of God in the first temptation. Let's see what he does in the second temptation. Well, first of all, let's see what it says here. The Word of God. When Jesus was faced with temptation, he used the Word of God. He didn't try to argue the devil down or reason with him. He didn't try to impress Satan with a great display of power. He just used the Word of God. Oh, but Ron, I didn't go to Regent College. I can't go against Satan. I haven't been to Bible school. I haven't been to Bible college. I haven't got my degree in theology. No, you can use it. Use the Word of God. This is our weapon. We have to use it. And that's what Jesus did. He used it. It says in the Word of God, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Defensive and offensive. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the divine soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attempt of the heart. I don't understand the whole Word of God. I've been studying for 50 years. I still don't, but I use it. Because the Holy Spirit can work through the Word of God. He works through us, yes, but it works through us as we use the Word of God. If I'm sitting there and talking to somebody about Jesus, and I'm trying to explain this, that, and the other thing, and going all around the world and everything, no, I just got to use the Word of God. You know, the Word of God says Jesus is the Son of God. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. Yes, you know, I love this picture. As you know, I'm a photographer. Look at that. That's power. That's power. I have seen lives change 180 degrees turn. I have seen people come from the gutter to heights because of the Word of God. I've been a Gideon for 50 years. And people say, well, how many Bibles have you given out, Ron? Oh, I've probably given out about 300,000, something like that. Personally, Jehovah Witness, Dios te bendiga, God bless you. Why have I done it? Why do I stand on the corners of the schools here in Vancouver and Burnaby, giving a Bible, getting spit on, and people telling me where to go, how to get there the quickest way possible? Why do I do it? Not because I'm going to get brownie points, because this is powerful. And I think of that first little testament I got in 1955. I was 10 years old. You can make the, how old I am. Anyway, I was 10 years old. I know I don't look 74, so maybe look 54. But anyway, the Bible, and I still have that Bible. It was my first Bible, and it's kept me all these years. Measure every thought by the truth. Can we fix that up, please? Measure every truth by the truth of the Word of God. That's what we have to do. And that's what's going to help us. That's what's going to help us. We also have to remember Satan's greatest weapon. You know Satan's greatest weapon? Satan's greatest weapon is a man ignorant of God's word. And so many Christians are ignorant of God's word. We've got to impregnate our minds. We've got to saturate our minds. We've got to fill our minds with the Word of God. And that's how God is going to bless and use us. We must study the Word of God, not some men's thoughts and men's saying, but we have to study the Word of God and use the Word of God. That's the important thing. That's the important thing. Study to show yourself approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. That's what we have to do. We have to study the Word of God. And that's when we're going to have success. Well, let's look at the second, the thing in your Bibles there. Please look in verse 5. The devil led him up to a higher mountain and showed him an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to them, I will give you all the authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So we're to worship God and him only. And it's so important that we do that. You're going to say, well, I don't worship idols. I don't have little idols in my house. But we're going to see that there's more than one type of idol. Anything that takes you away from God, anything that takes you away from God is an idol. It can be cars. It can be your house. It could be your career. But notice what Jesus says. He uses the Bible again. He doesn't mess around. Excuse me, sounds very irreverent to say that. But he doesn't fool around. He uses the Word of God because it's the Word of God that is powerful. God, Christ was once again quoting scripture to the devil from the book of the Old Testament, book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That's what we're supposed to do. Worship God. I'm preaching to the choir because you're here and that's great. You're in the right place. But how many people aren't? I'm over at Starbucks this morning, and I'm all dressed up. I have my Bible out there. I have my computer out there, and I'm mumbling in my coffee, you know, and just going over my message, going, people looking at me. Now, I know what they're thinking. I know what they're thinking. But we are to worship God and worship him only. And then you're in church. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And that's the important thing that we are to do. Worship God and worship him only. Nothing else. Nothing else should come into play but that. Yes, Jesus was tempted in the desert. And we aren't to let sports get in our way. We aren't to let any of those things to get in our way. Because it's the sword of the Spirit. That's what it is. It's the Word of God. And Satan loves those Christians who don't know the Bible. And there's a lot of them, unfortunately. We must study the Word of God, not what some people say. I just recently come to the realization, as I said, even in this message, as I was listening to all those beautiful messages, I had to get back to the scriptures to find out what Jesus did. And Jesus only used two methods, and we're only touching one right now, the Word of God, and we're going to touch the other in a few seconds. But that's what Jesus did. But the problem is, things get in our way. Things get in our way. Things like the cars and things like that to preoccupy us, that take us away from that. Do not worship sports. Repent of idolatry and surrender to Jesus. Cars, houses, careers, all of these things. You know, there's nothing wrong with a nice car. I don't have a Mercedes Benz, but I have a nice Tiguan, Volkswagen, beautiful. Only a year old, 2 years old. But I don't worship it. And when we say worship, I don't mean getting on my knees and worshiping it like this. I mean, if I have to work overtime, and if I have to do this, that, and the other thing, and miss meetings, and miss fellowship, and miss witnessing, and all that because of my car, then that's an idol to me. And Jesus said we shouldn't have any idols before us. So important. Notice what it says up here now. It says, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal to God. Because when Satan said, I will give you all of this, Jesus knew that he was going to have it anyway. Jesus knew at the beginning from the end, he knew that his Father was going to give him all the kingdoms. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He knew he was going to get it. It wasn't his time. So he was waiting on his father. He said, I do the will of my father who sent me. That's interesting. Are you with me there? Because when Satan offered him all the kingdoms, you can have everything, everything yours, just worship me. All of it can be yours. He said, no, we are to worship God and God only. Because he knew. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So Jesus knew. He knew. So what we have to do is do what he wants to do. The last one. For it is written, he who commands his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, they will lift you up with their hands so that you will not strike your feet against a stone. Jesus answered and said, do not put the Lord your God to test. What wonderful, wonderful verses those are. So there's the first way to overcome temptation. When you're tempted, grab the word of God. And if you haven't memorized it, you should memorize it. I know it's hard these days with so many different versions. I mean, I still have my King James in my head, and so often I say, Lord, help me, get me out of this situation. And I recite scripture, or I'll grab the Bible, or I'll grab my phone, or I'll grab my iPad, and I'll, oh, thank you, Lord. That's just what I, how many times have you looked at the Bible and said, that's just what I need. I need that. Thank you, Lord. That's exactly what I needed for this temptation, for this time in my life, for this moment. Over and over that happens. Jesus is watching over Jerusalem. Jesus answered the devil with the words, do not put the Lord your God to test. For he was commanded his angels concerning you, and we've had that, we've got to carry on. Pray about temptation, dear friends. Pray against temptation, plan against temptation, and prepare for temptation. God will provide a way out. Look for it and take it and thank him. Not only for the many times unbeknown to you that he guards you from temptations altogether, and also for the times he asks your prayer definitely, not just keeping you from temptation, but keeping you through to temptation. So we have to pray against temptation. We're going to see that, because prayer is the second thing. The first thing is the Bible. The first thing Jesus used was the Bible. And the second thing we're going to find is prayer. So we are to plan against temptation. You say, how do you plan against temptation? Well, you don't see it anymore because it's on internet, but you're walking down the street and you see all of those girly magazines and all those kind of things, and you're, no, plan. Walk the other way. I mean, that's only a simplistic way of thinking, but that's only one small example. Plan against temptation, and we can plan. Don't go there, because if you go there with those guys and start drinking a beer, then two beer, then three beers, and four beers, and then you're going to fall in drunkenness, and you're going to say things and do things that are stupid. Plan against temptation. You're not going to buy that, because if you buy that, you know that you're going to have to do this, that, and the other thing to keep that thing. I could go on and on and on. I think you're with me. Plan against and prepare for temptation. And you prepare by temptation in reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God. Jesus says he knew, he understood, and he used Scripture. Jesus knew, he understood, and he used Scripture. Jesus is tempted in the desert. But prayer, the importance of prayer. When the disciples kept going to sleep, remember in the garden? Remember in the garden? Do you remember in the garden? Jesus was in the garden with his disciples. And Jesus was praying. And can you see in the back of Jesus there? There's his disciples. What are they doing? They were sleeping. They were sleeping. They shouldn't have been sleeping. They should have been praying. Christians must prepare to conquer temptation in the one who prays and plans against it. And we should pray earnestly. For instance, we find in the Word of God that Jesus says to the disciples that they are to pray against that they would not be tempted. He didn't say that they wouldn't sin. We're going to see that in a couple of examples. Jesus tells his disciples to pray they will be not led into temptation. Because temptation isn't the sin. It's falling into that temptation. But Jesus prays, don't pray so you won't go into temptation. That's so interesting when you see it. Apart from God, we have no hope of resisting temptation. That's why the world is in the way it is today. Because people have no power. They don't have no authority. We have authority against Satan. We can say no to Satan. We can say no in the name of Jesus. I've seen it many times. What does the Bible say? This Bible says, our Father which art in heaven, may your name be kept. And as we go down there, give us today the food we need. And don't lead us to yield to temptation. Temptation. And in the Lord's Prayer and another thing, lead us not into temptation. So we can pray, Lord, help me not to be led into temptation. It doesn't say don't lead us. Because if we aren't tempted, we're not going to sin. So my responsibility is to pray to God to lead us not into temptation. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Luke chapter 22, 40. Luke chapter 22, 46. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. So the temptation is not the sin. It's the gate to the sin. But we've got to use the same toolbox that Jesus used. And the toolbox has two tools in it, prayer and the Word of God. And if we use prayer and we use the Word of God, we can succumb temptation. So important. And the Word of God also says, first we face with Satan's temptation, you must pray to God and seek the truth more to understand God's will and not fall prey to Satan's trick, because he's going to twist the Bible. He's going to manipulate. Is that how you say it in English? Yeah. I need ESL. Manipulate. He manipulates Scripture. But if you know, people say, you know, you gotta prove this, you gotta prove that, you gotta. I can't prove nothing. All I can do is use Scripture, and the Scripture speaks for itself. Who am I to try to explain all the intricacy of Scripture, because I don't know them all? But I know that Scripture is powerful, and when I'm tempted, I use Scripture. When people come to my door and say, would you like this? I'll just say, you know what the Bible says here, Cara, do it down a moment, for God so loved the world, and you know, they go. They don't want to hear the Word of God. People don't want to hear the Word of God. They think they can do it without it. Yes, when we're faced temptation, we must pray about it. And that's what God wants us to do. It makes me think of a little story I heard about this poor little mousie. This little mouse, he came out of his little hole, you know, and there was a mouse trap. And the mouse trap's right there. And he looks at that mouse trap, and there's a nice piece of cheese on it. That cheese looked good. Oh, boy, that cheese looked good. But he knew that humans were trying to trap him, so he wasn't going to touch that cheese. But he took a step forward. He liked that. Oh, another step forward, and another step forward, because, and you know what happened? Bang! He was trapped. And if he had just walked away from that trap, he wouldn't have been killed. And that's like us spiritually. God doesn't want us to be trapped. He gives us way. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Sin is sin, dear friends. And my prayer this morning, that when you're tempted, that you will first read Scripture, pregnate your mind, and pray. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you once again that there's no temptation that will overcome us, in the sense that we can overcome it because of prayer and because of Scripture, and because we have Jesus on our side. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are on the winner's side. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are there to help us, guide us, or direct us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, there's a way out. Thank you, Heavenly Father, we don't have to fall into sin. We can take our backs to sin and we can make a 180-degree turn and go the other way. Help us to do so. And thank you for the example of our blessed Lord in Luke chapter 2, Heavenly Father, in the regards to how he overcame the temptations. We ask this in Jesus' name, giving you thanks for the refreshments downstairs, and also giving you thanks for the wonderful fellowship that we're going to be enjoying. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.